The Instructor Podcast with Terry Cook, talking with leaders, innovators, experts and game changers about what drives them.
Welcome back to the Instructor Podcast. As always, I am your splendid host, Terry Cook. I'm delighted to be even more delighted that you have chosen to listen, because in this third episode of the In Conversation series with Lee Jowick, we take a step back and look at the state of the driving industry as a whole. Not just where it's doing well, but where it's struggling, where it feels broken, where it feels hopeful, and whether we're genuinely at a turning point or just circling the same conversations. Now, this episode is honest, reflective, and at times uncomfortable. There's frustration, optimism, and a lot of questioning. Not for the sake of it, but because if we don't ask these questions, nothing will ever change. Now, as always with this series, this is a long-form conversation. There's no rush. There's no easy answers. Just two people trying to make sense of where we are and where we might be heading. So a quick reminder before we dive in, these In Conversation series episodes are released early and ad-free for the Instructor Podcast Premium members, what many of you may know internally as IPP. Now, this is where those deeper discussions live, alongside exclusive sessions, expert insights, and a community that's interested in more than just passing the next test. So with that said, let's get into episode 3, The State of the Industry with Lee Jowick. Lee Jowick, what is the state of the industry?
Oh, you've thrown a grenade in at me. I'm not here to not be blatantly honest, eh? You've not asked me to come on this not be honest. So I think it's in a poor state. I don't think it's in a good state. I think it's at a point where we may be kind of getting to a crossroads. And if something doesn't change, it could go quite badly the wrong way. I think things are in place for it to go in a better way. But I think from top to bottom, I think something needs to be sort of getting a grip of, is it a good thing that there's been no standards checks for the best part of 5 years? Is it a good thing that PDIs have qualified and become ADIs and not been assessed, that they can't get a grade? You know, there are people who want to be assessed, that want to be graded, that can't get an assessment, that can't be graded, and that's impacting on what they want to do. And then there's the current state, in my opinion, of training as a result of testing, again, from kind of top to bottom. And I do think there are good things there. I do think that there are elements within the industry that put us in a position to look at things really positively. I look at the PDIs that I see, and you know, newly qualified ADIs, and some of their, even just before they've even qualified, their mindset about the hunger, the thirst for knowing and understanding more. I don't think we've ever found, however that's happened, and I do think it's, you know, it's a result of multiple things, such as, you know, the Instructor Podcast that people are finding really early on in the journey, that are sort of pushing them to sort of find out more about things that they don't know. But, you know, there's good and bad. I think when I look at people coming into the industry and the percentage of people coming in, I don't think that when you look at it in maybe 10 years from now, we'll be in a state where only about 5 to 10% of instructors are doing CPD, because that's not what I'm seeing from people that are coming into the industry at this point. So I think that percentage will increase, which then pushes It pushes the scale really for the quality of lessons that will be delivered to the pupils. But I think on the other end of the scale, I don't think training's in a great place. I don't think the process for qualification is in any way close to what it needs to be now. I think that really needs looking at. And I think there are other elements as well, you know, that people's use of social media. I think, again, there's good and bad, but, you know, you could largely be looking at various ends of the scale and quite tipped towards the ends of the scale rather than sitting sort of in the middle of the scale. And I shouldn't forget, because, you know, it's easy for me to forget given I don't teach learners anymore, but the current state of the industry with in relation to, you know, learner driver tests and where that puts people and the pressure that that generates for driving instructors can't be good. It can't be good, but good and bad, because it's given the platform for this industry to finally start charging what I consider to be reasonable prices for tuition, which we, you know, in my experience, we were never able to do. And so, you know, on one end, you've got the fact that we're finally not having to kill ourselves in a car for 40 hours a week to actually make some money. But it must be very difficult to manage that expectation, that disappointment of being unsuccessful. And just the entire process from start to finish must be so much more pressure now.
So you started off by saying that the industry is in a poor state. What is your biggest concern?
What is my biggest concern? I now have to whittle this through my mind, so I'll try and speak while I'm doing it. I feel like driving instructors in general are doing a good enough job of developing the pupil's skill and knowledge. So I don't have concerns about that per se. You know, there will be the exceptions, of course, but I think, so in general, I think that side of it, which is a very, very important part of the role of a driving instructor, it's the majority of what we do. So that side of it, okay. I think training, I have big concerns about training, or a proportion of training, that is given. It's, I would say, you know, CPDIs, what they've got, what they're being trained, they need, it's not unnecessary. So no one's being trained something they don't need, but it's nowhere near enough. Even just with that element that I just mentioned about driving instructors developing skill and knowledge to the pupil, they're not getting enough of what they need. They're getting what they, you know, some of what they need, they're getting, but they're not getting enough of what they need, even just the basics and foundations of the role of being a driving instructor. So I think there needs to be some insight into what training is being delivered by, you know, then that would be DVSA that need that insight to see what's being delivered and what's missing, what's lacking. I think that the concern with that then is that if a high percentage of training isn't adequate, then ultimately some gets through the cracks, and then there's a concern that, again, even just in terms of just control of the vehicle and you know, navigating it through traffic, that what I've said about, I mean, not having a concern about that side of it could then become a concern if enough gets through the cracks. I think the qualification process, whether it's something that concerns me is another matter, because I think as it is, people still get through who go on to be really, really brilliant at what they do. So I'm not sure whether concern is the thing, but it could be so much better, and it's not helping people, you know. And then, okay, so what is the concern of that? Okay, so people's mental health, you know, people's choices, the choices of a PDI to even come into the industry, the amount of money that they then maybe pay out, their experiences in terms of, you know, how that impacts on people when they're unsuccessful at something, repeatedly unsuccessful. So yeah, that really is then a concern. The qualification process itself, I look at it now and I think it doesn't work. It worked to an extent when I qualified, because I used to just have to train an examiner to do the right things. If I said it, they'd play ball, and if they played ball, then I qualified. But then you couldn't actually teach people. You know, I struggled for my first 2 years to actually teach people, and I think now we're assessed in terms of teaching people. That process probably needs to look something more like a 2-year development process. And as such, you know, pushing people to complete all of their training in 6 months, and any additional training in 3 months whilst on a trainee license for 6 months isn't really the answer to anything, because development takes time. So I think that's an issue. I think that's quite a considerable issue, because a DVSA really open to making changes in that sort of area? Is it their, you know, is that their primary motivation? I would say that no, it's not. I don't know. It's such a difficult one to answer, that ultimately the biggest problem is people getting in a car and killing themselves and other people, and then everything else is how do we stop that from happening? And I think there are things that go to and contribute towards maybe making that happen.
It's an interesting answer. I think I agree. But I think I might have a bit of a rant here, because I think my biggest concern or annoyance or frustration potentially is individual trainers or individual training organizations, or maybe just the mindset of that collaboration. And I'm stereotyping it, I appreciate that, but because I think that a lot of us, and again I include myself and potentially you when I say this, would do a shit job in certain aspects of it. You know, I think that there's the technical side of it, as in the training instructors, and I think that a lot of trainers still fall back in that old school mentality. They're not providing a good enough service, not providing the correct training, or they're providing the training that the DVSA requires you to provide, rather than actually going above and beyond. Because we could step back and go, let's look at the DVSA framework, but in reality that's not going to change. Yes, we need to campaign for that to change, and we'll maybe come on to that in a bit, but that's not something we're in control of. But we are in control of what we train, and there are still trainers that are delivering crap training, or training that's the steal his phrase, minimum standards. You know, so I think there's that aspect of it. There's also trainers there, and I think this is something you've said once, actually. There's trainers there that once listened to a podcast or went on one course and suddenly think they're now trainers, and then they're going out. So they're the people potentially that I was referring to before, when I was saying these are good people, but doing the wrong thing potentially, and not building their skills up enough. I think that then we've got people that are out there online, or in the not just social media, but the public eye, that are just being really crappy at what they do. We've got the people that someone will put up a really intentionally positive social media post talking about what they've achieved, and someone will hijack it with and it won't even be a negative comment, it'll just be a detracting comment, which I think is off. Then you've got the trainers that go online and slagging each other off. And then you've got, I just think that this whole thing, and you know, I once asked the question, and I'm bringing it back to the Instructor podcast again, but it's relevant. I once asked the question, was the Instructor podcast a net positive or a net negative? And I still don't know the answer. And everyone I ask turns around and says net positive, but I look at the influence it's had. And it's had a big positive influence, but it's had a big negative influence as well. There's a lot of people that have gone, Terry's done that, I can do that. Mm. And they don't see the work that goes in behind it. They just think, oh, I can do that, and then I'll be a trainer, and I'll be, can go and then do X, Y, and Z, and look at me, you know. And I think that is my biggest concern. And I think that the problem they have with that, and why it's potentially my biggest concern, is that there's very little we can do about it. Because apart from looking at ourselves and leading by example, and like I said, I'm not perfect, I get stuff wrong. But I think that is the biggest problem, that there is so much fault. There you go, that's very negative, but so much fault and so much wrong within this whole training industry from the top to the bottom. And there is so much, well, the DVSA says, so I can, oh, screw them. You know, take some accountability, take some responsibility, look at the students you're putting through, look at the PDIs you're looking through, look at the ADIs you're putting through, look at yourself and the way you train, and be open and honest enough to say, I'm not good enough at this aspect. Mm. This is where I want to get better. Rather than just sweep it under a carpet and going, look at me, I'm perfect. I saw a presentation not that long ago. Very, very careful what I say. Where they were talking about, we train PDIs to be, basically, they didn't phrase it this way, but we train PDIs to be old-fashioned instructors, and then when they're qualified, then we'll teach them how to do it properly. You don't do that. But there's people there nodding along, and there was a PDI that came out to me after that and said, I feel crap. I feel that's not what I want to do. I want to get good. And I'm like, no, this isn't what we do. And then even beyond that, we've got, I'm not going down that road. But yeah, that is my being the bonnet. That is my biggest concern. And I think that is the single biggest problem in this industry, the combination of the trainers and the training organizations.
Okay. So, so I can then just come in and off the back of you saying that trainers and training and the, yeah, that's the, and then it's not me saying that. So that's great. That leaves me free to say whatever. I don't.
And the Instructor podcast finishing.
I don't disagree. It's a huge problem. If I saw more of the training rather than the result of the training, then I would undoubtedly be more opinionated on it, and I have very little doubt that that opinion would be negative. I see very little of the actual training is the issue, so it's very hard to pass judgment on the training when you're not seeing it. But what I see is huge gaps in what should be delivered. Why? Because I say so? No, because they're fundamental skills. You know, you cannot be a driving instructor without a set of eyes. It doesn't work. We don't have blind driving instructors. The thing with it is you need to know what to do with your eyes. You need to know where you need to look, you know, and that isn't often part of people's, you know, fundamental training. And it surprises me and shocks me in equal measure, but it absolutely is the case, because it's not one person, it's almost everybody when I see them. And what are they being trained? What I was trained, the junctions, the topics, MSPSL and levels of instruction. And the only thing that's really different is with a very low level of communication, so it doesn't work. What do you want to do today? You know, do you want me to help you with that? No, I'll try it myself. Okay, let's put my seatbelt on. So, yes, I agree. I would love to have seen or to see more on a regular basis of the actual training, so I could give a more, you know, informed opinion on what I think the issues are. But, you know, as it is, seeing the output, I just think, yeah, training in general is mediocre. But fortunately, though, you know, on the flip side, and for whatever the reasons, but I'm seeing just such a higher percentage of PDIs coming out now with, where can I get more information? What you know, what can I do to develop? What can I keep doing beyond? Can I see you again? You know, even though I've qualified, I had someone message me last week for a date in January who he passed his part three in October, you know, and I just want to keep going and I want to keep, you know, on courses and can I do this and shall I do this? And, you know, they'll come to me and they'll go, I heard you on the instructor podcast and I was listening to that and I didn't know you'd been on that. And like, all right, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Then, so I'm going to go around saying I was on the instructor podcast. Do you know who I am? on that side of it. So imagine we got training right. Imagine we got training right with the people that are coming into the industry and their mindsets. Then I do think we might be looking at getting, you know, better and better at what we're doing as an industry. So
there's a few problems in this job that almost no one talks about. Imposter syndrome, second guessing yourself after a bad lesson, undercharging because you don't quite trust your value yet, and feeling like everyone else has got it figured out except you. Well, here's the truth. None of that means you're a bad instructor. It means you're a normal one. Because the Instructor Podcast Premium was built around those types of problems, not because instructors are broken, but because pretending they don't exist just makes things worse. Most instructors don't need 1,000 new techniques and need space to reflect, recalibrate, and rebuild confidence properly. And that's what the membership supports, calmly, honestly, and without drama. So if any of that felt familiar, there's more information in the show notes, because you're very much not on your own.
I think the thing I will chuck in actually is the caveat. Obviously, there is some really good training going on. As much as I just criticized everyone in the industry, there is some really good training going on. And what I respect about a lot of trainers is their willingness to improve. You know, I'm going to use you as an example. You've obviously gone on a lot of different courses. You've done a lot of higher level CPD and personal and professional development, which is obviously great. But even you were in my membership. You know, and I look at, this is something I'm really, really proud of when I look at my membership, the fact that I've got the likes of you and Phil Cowley and Stuart Lockery and Diana Todd and Emma Cottington, you know, these people that I've got, and it's not because it's my membership, it's just that's the one I can talk about, because you can gain something from that. You know, you're not just going, no one else in this industry can teach me anything. You're going, I can pick stuff up from over here. And I love that. I really, and again, not because it's my membership, but that's obviously where I see the people. So any membership that another trainer is in, I think is credit to that trainer and credit to that membership. And I love it when I get trainers, especially newer ones, or people just starting out with it, that reach out to me and say, I'm struggling. Or that reach out to me and say, I'm not doing a good job. And in truth, they are. They're just not where they want to be yet. You know, I can remember saying to you specifically earlier on this year sometime that I hope that when I do my 1,000th training session with an instructor, it's better than the 999th. Because I do want it to, and it won't always, it'll go up and down, but I want everyone to, I want to improve. I don't want to rest on those laurels. And I think that's probably maybe the thing that concerns me the most is the people that rest on the laurels, the people that, not just the training, but the people that sit on their high horse and complain about everyone else, which is what I've just done, without offering solution, without offering ideas, I think we've mentioned before at some point, without looking back and going, we struggled with this. You know, I did an episode with Bob Morton once talking about the things Bob struggled with. And it's one of our best ever episodes because people are going, Bob struggled? And how has that happened? Because, you know, so there will be some trainers out there that, through intention or otherwise, are put on a pedestal. It's like, we don't realize that these people had to learn too and had to struggle too. But I think the other thing, maybe this is sort of going back on what I said slightly, which isn't my intention, but you touched on it, the idea of people not learning what they need to learn. I think there's an element as well of, I think some trainers use that as a way to make themselves look good. Because you cannot learn everything. It's impossible. Otherwise, you wouldn't need any CPD. There wouldn't be any CPD ever if you learned everything. But I'll see some people go online and say, oh, I just got a PDI and they didn't know this thing. And I'm thinking, maybe they don't know it yet, you know, or do they need to know it? And some cases they will do. You know, there's obviously some stuff you have to know, but do they need to know that? Is that something they could get away with for now? Is that or are you just use this as an excuse to make yourself look good by belittling someone else? And I think that is probably my bigger concern more than the actual training, because I think that in itself brings about negative training. So it's that example that we're leading. I go back to that again, but maybe that's, like I say, that's the biggest negative. I mean, you did give them before, you did give some positives, but let's not dwell on the negatives too long. Because if we talk about the state of the industry, give me, what's your biggest thing that you're happy about in the insurance industry? You're coming to end of 2025 now. What's making Leeds Yowit happy in this industry?
What people are doing. I think there's a lot of people out there doing really good things. And I think, I've already said it, but, you know, the actual intention of newly qualified driving instructors to just continually be better. I think there's been some, you know, I don't want to keep plugging the instructor podcast because it is the instructor podcast. But, you know, like having, for example, Bob Morton go on to something that people can access and give them wisdom, but also give them, listen, I struggled, you know, this happened for me. This was my issue here. And helping people see that it's normal. It's not, you don't just pick something up and instantly become really good at it. It takes time. It's motivating for people to see that, because it's dead easy to pick something up, have a go at it and go, I can't do that, so I'm never doing it again. Seeing, you know, other people and stuff being there for people to consume, Bright Coaching and what Stuart's doing, you know, Kevin Tracy, and Neil and Kev as well, with what they're doing, in terms of qualifications, to clear up where I'm going with that. And then there are people coming into the industry that are coming in with a mindset that that's something that they will do. Even if they're not doing it today, they'll do it at some point in the future. So I think they're the areas that I look at and go, we're in a really good place there. You know, people are putting really good things together and people are coming in with the right mindset to take these things on board. I think that gives us great hope. Do I think there's anything else that I think?
Well, do you know what? I'll just touch on that, actually, because I think that's exactly my positive. It's the opposite to my negative. My negative is the frustration of the attitudes of some people. My positive is the pleasure of the enthusiasm and attitudes of some people. You know, you've mentioned there, but I went to the IMTD. And I've taken along Andy Sinker, Emma Funneland, Norwegian Emma, and Les Hopkinson. Mm. And they're loving it.
Mm.
You know, and obviously I've got a connection with these people, so I get to see them. And it's like, this is so rewarding for me to see. Just, it's nothing to do with me in IMTD. I'm a member, but I have nothing to do with what they do. So to go down there and take people there and see them get so much from it, especially Emma, bless her, I've never seen anyone as excited. And it's like, I come away from that, seeing their enthusiasm, and that makes me want to go. Mm. Or you mentioned Bright Coaching, they've got the new BPM and the new BPM books. It's like, yes, this is the innovation that we need. And it might not be perfect. You know, I don't know. I'm not sort of meant as a criticism, but the fact that it's out there, and I know Stuart and Tom quite well, so anything that's not right, they'll improve. That's the biggest thing. You've said that. You're always looking to go do more and improve and go beyond. And that that's what I like, not just from the organizations, but from the individuals that I've mentioned as well. And I think that that is the complete counter. And maybe that comes back to what you said earlier about we're at a turning point in, or potential turning point or crossroads. In we can carry on going the way we're going. We can go left where all these awesome people are, or we can go right where all these less awesome people are. And I think you're right. Those scales are probably pretty even right now in a lot of ways. And maybe that's, going back to what we said before, maybe that's our role. Maybe we need to amplify those people more, get those people more seen. Maybe I need to continue the podcast, get those people more seen to get more people over that side of the mountain.
I'm not sure. I think you've done a great job of doing that. Well, we've already discussed whether people have heard that already when they hear this is another matter, but we've already discussed the podcast and your plans. But I think you've done a great job, and I do see the sense in, you know, you keep pushing the same thing for too long, then it could actually push people the other way. So I think what we need to do now is to maybe, touching on the point that you made earlier, is to be better at attracting those people that are kind of sat in the middle of it, you know, and those that aren't on board with something yet, that haven't changed a mindset yet. Probably, if anything's going to take us one way or another at that crossroad, it's going to be our ability to do that. So that's a thinker.
It's an interesting one. I think that a lot of this seems to be threading together a little bit. I think that, and when I say amplifying the voices, I don't necessarily mean getting behind everyone and shouting about everyone. I mean not being afraid to, and you're good at this to be fair, not being afraid to share a post from someone else, not being afraid to say, yeah, we like us, but this person's pretty good as well. You know, not being afraid to do that. But when we step back, if we step back away from that, what else is, don't have to be good or bad, but what else is standing out for you about the industry right now?
Oh, yeah, give me a minute to think. I have to process that. I'm going to give a shout out then to Intelligent Instructor. And the work that they do, I think that's it's such a, you know, when I talk about it, I'm talking about the convention and I'm talking about the conference and the work they do in between those as well. And you know, their online content, which we are knowledgeable, me and Mick, we contribute towards, but I think they're another fantastic asset to the industry. I think they, you know, you look at those two dates though in the year, and they just, the industry without them would just be a constant churn of doing the same thing day in, day out, day in, day out. So I think that's fantastic. You know, the conference, the convention, the awards, and everything else that they do is a real positive for those people that, you know, that want to be motivated to do more and do better and get good information, get good advice, and take themselves in other directions. And The variety of speakers, the variety of stands and services that are there, I think that stands out to me. I think probably the rest is much of a muchness.
I think that's a good shout. I think those two events are like they're almost the focal points of the year now. To those that are aware of them, obviously. It's about, what, 35,000 that aren't?
Yeah.
but they're the focal points of the year, which is quite good. But What about 2025? This can be personal, professional. What stands out for you from 2025?
My lack of ability to get done what I was supposed to get done stands out to me.
That's not just your lack of ability. That's, I think, lots of people's lack of ability.
But I've not even come close. You know, I failed miserably in what I was intending to do. What has stood out, helping people. I think what we've done well this year, but ultimately in the future we'll need to have done. We've taken on board a group of instructors, most of whom are experienced instructors, that we value their mostly mindset, really. The likes of Nikki Binns, Charlotte Williams, Stefan Solomenka, Gordon Lato, Hugh Davis, Penny Alexander, Bridget Bergstrom. I hope I haven't missed any more. Kev Selwood. But these are people that we know, trust, understand, that share our ethos. There are a couple of people that are, you know, that are there that are projects, development projects, because we believe in them and what they can be in the future. But they're going to, through training and development with us, they're going to then deliver some of our content, or more of our content. Some have already started, and so because what I want to do now is a little bit like, a lot like what Try Coaching did for me and many others, is to give instructors a platform to develop their own knowledge, understanding, and skill set, and help them to become good quality trainers, delivering good quality content based on the knowledge and their developed understanding. So I think that would be, from a professional point of view, the positive standout of the year. That excites me. I think I look at it and go, okay, well, you know, you've gone from being the least knowledgeable instructor in your local area, you know, on the day you sort of started training, to be a driving instructor, to someone who's invited to be on a stage at a national conference. Where do you go? And so I think if I could help somebody, you know, to get from where they are to a similar position in the future with their own knowledge and understanding, delivering something that they've put together, something that I've put together, something that they've put together, that's a little bit based on something that maybe lit, if, you know, a fire in their brain, when they heard me maybe say it, then that may be then the next thing that I could sit back and go, I'm proud of that.
You should be proud. I mean, you should be proud now. I shouldn't tell you how I feel, but I think you should be proud now. But I like that you're referring back to Try Coaching with that, you know, like what Try Coaching did for you, you want to do for us. I think that's good. And maybe you've touched on this slightly, but looking forward to 2026, what are you looking forward to, hopeful of, apprehensive of?
Apprehensive of nothing changing. You know, if nothing changes, everything stays the same. Hopeful of things changing. So we'll see. I don't expect major changes in 2026 because we're not down the line of anything that would potentially change anything. So I don't see major changes. So then you've got to look at the positives in where you are. We've already mentioned the conference and the convention and the awards and what a great night that is. Hopefully you get picked on by a magician again. That'd be fun. Can we make that happen?
No.
and you know, some of the work that that we're doing with Knowledgeable. I'm looking forward to getting finished the thing that needs to be finished and sort of getting that out there and starting to deliver something new. I can deliver the standards check workshop with my eyes closed pretty much now, and answer questions on it confidently. Something new would be good.
I was talking to Richard Borges after that event, and he said 90% of people think you're an extrovert. So 90% of the audience thought you were loving it, but the 10% of us knew you were hating it. Like, yeah, I was. Not my cup of tea. I think 2026, I think, is going to be fascinating. Obviously for me personally, but I think for the industry. I said it about last year, of this year, 2025, and I think it has been a really interesting year. I think there's been some really interesting developments. There's new driving schools that opened up, one of which I was a part of, and then however you want to see it, failed at. Not just support, obviously, but other driving schools as well. New training companies, the training companies that have expanded and taken different directions. And that's just like the instructor aspect of it. We're hopeful. I haven't checked today, but we're hopeful of a road safety strategy report being out today. And we're calling this on the 15th, if not at the very least this week, you know, so that's a big thing. You know, the obviously all the shenanigans at the DVSA, when you look at this year, it's been a really interesting and largely positive year. You know, even with the DVSA stuff, which we'll come back to, it's not necessarily got worse. It's just been shit all the way through. So I do think it's largely been positive developments throughout.
Do I agree? I don't know. I suppose it's a difficult one. I'm probably so self-absorbed in the fact that I didn't do the thing that I was supposed to do and I didn't come close to it, that is when I look at the year and I just look at that and you just go, it's just so way off. Failed so miserably. I suppose the other thing with me and my focus is that I'm really hoping, more than expecting, but hoping for change, you know, and changes. And I think over the last 3 or 4 years, if not longer, we've seen an influx of really good people doing really good things. So maybe that has diluted for me the excitement of new things, because it's not a new thing to have good new things. And ultimately we can have all the good new things we want, but until something actually changes, nothing's actually changing. I would be hopeful that this time next year I'm a bit more positive about the things that have happened than I am at this part this year.
If it makes you feel any better, I announced this year that my book would be out by July. I then announced it would be out by August. And it's December the 15th and it's still out. And in the time I've announced it would be out, Ray Seeger has released two books, one of which I think is the biggest driving instructor book I've ever seen. And Tommy Sander has also released two books. So, you know, you're not the only one that's failed on certain projects.
that does help, to be fair.
Right. So do you want to take a moment just to remind people where they can find you?
Yes, you can find us on social media, Knowledgeable Instructor Training. You can find us on our website, www.adikit.co.uk. And you can see us around the country delivering various different workshops throughout 2026.
Awesome. So a big thank you for joining me for this edition, Lee.
No worries. Thanks for that, Terry. Enjoyed it.
The Instructor Podcast with Terry Cook. Talking with leaders, innovators, experts and game changers about what drives them.